This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Wanted to start a couple of blown opportunities, especially in the Metropolitan Division. Capitals had a chance to strengthen their three-point lead on the Islanders, but they put a dud in Florida against the Panthers as they lost that game 5-3, spotted the Panthers a 4-0 lead, and that left the door open for the Islanders, who lost at home to the Maple Leafs by the final score of 2-1. And the interesting thing in this one, Leonard played well, but Rosen gets his first ever NHL goal, Cal Rosen, and then insult to injury, John Tavares scores his 46th of the season, and it would turn out to prove be the game winner, because Eberle scores with about 5 minutes to go in the third period to make it interesting, as he scores on the power play, his 19th of the season. So that Tavares goal turns out to be the game winner. Fans of the Coliseum, none too happy, but really what they should be disappointed in, they could be a point back of Washington with an excellent chance to still win this division. And what that also does is leave the door open now for the Pittsburgh Penguins to maybe take over second place. Because of that loss, Pittsburgh has a game in hand, 2 points back. So if Pittsburgh were to win their game in hand, they'd be tied in points with 99, tied in row wins with 42, and the nod would go to Pittsburgh with a better goal differential, plus 33, to the Islanders, plus 28. So the Islanders not only blow a chance to get within a point of Washington, they've left the door open now for Pittsburgh to possibly take home ice advantage. Now, we talked about this with EJ yesterday. I don't think it's a big deal for Pittsburgh to get home ice. They've been there and done that. But I think for all the work the Islanders have done, it would really be a shame for them to be able to clinch a playoff berth and blow an opportunity to win the division, blow an opportunity to get home ice. You know, the Coliseum's going to be rocking. Their last two games are going to be on the road here. So you know those fans are going to be thirsty just looking at the atmosphere that's been in these last 11 games at home for the Islanders. It's not the end of the world, and they can certainly win on the road for sure, but I think you'd be kicking yourself if you end up being the third-place team and having to travel to Pittsburgh for the first two games of the series if that ends up being the matchup. So, listen, the Islanders had a shot at home against the Toronto team they took care of the last time. Still a very emotionally charged building with Tavares returning. Obviously not the same as it was for the first time. I think the fans were a little bit more focused at the task at hand. And considering social media, considering the way you can update what was happening in Washington, just must have infuriated fans that you're seeing 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, Florida. And yet the Islanders, they fall behind 1-0 in the second period, never able to catch back up. So that was a disappointment for both Washington and the Islanders, because the Washington Capitals right now can have a 5-point lead in the division and clinched it all up, and they didn't do that. So we'll see what ends up moving on forward with those two teams. Out west, Colorado does earn a point. They came back from 2-0 down against St. Louis, but they end up losing in the shootout 3-2 to the Blues, certainly making things interesting in the Central Division. When you couple that with Winnipeg, their 4-3 win in overtime over the Chicago Blackhawks. So certainly a lot of great things happening out there in the Western Conference, but St. Louis, for the 13th time this year, have blown a 2-goal lead. 13 times. You could say, well, Don, they were awful in the first half of the season, but two of those games, the game last night, the game at Madison Square Garden last Friday where they lost the game in regulation, that's something that the Blues are going to have to clean up. And I've talked to some people around St. Louis where they were in the Garden on Friday, and it's easy for somebody like me or people that don't follow the St. Louis Blues to kind of look at their situation and say, well, Binnington is the reason why they turned it around. Young goaltender, never seems to lose. And of course, Craig Berube taking over. All the credit goes to Berube, because the people around St. Louis who are with them every day feel like that more times than not, the guys up front have bailed out the goaltender than the goaltender bailing out the guys up front. So Binnington looks like he's been the beneficiary of all around better play by the team than it is really him standing on his head and turning things around. His entry into the National Hockey League seemed to be just a coincidence more than it's been him being the reason. Berube's an honest guy. What he says to the media is what he says to the players. I was talking to Darren Pang, who said that Berube would say something to him, like off the cuff, off the record, and Panger would say, you know, can I use that? And he's like, yeah, I told the players, I'm telling you. I mean, he's not holding any secrets back. He's not playing that kind of game. He was a hard-nosed, honest, straightforward player. He's been that way as a coach, but certainly they get the win. But blowing these leads is a little bit disconcerting. But that helped out Colorado. They still at least earn a point. So the Avalanche now have a 2-point lead on Arizona. Both teams have 79 games played. Both teams have 34 row wins. So the Avalanche still control their own destiny with these final three games left on their schedule. So Arizona's going to need an Avalanche loss in regulation, or at least a couple of losses in overtime, and Arizona to run the table to be able to get in. But what's also interesting about the standings, there is not one team with a minus goal differential that is right now in the playoffs. Arizona is the only team that has a chance to do that at minus nine that can still make the playoffs. Minnesota, Chicago, outside chance, all both minus 24 and 25. Those are going to take Hail Marys. But Arizona, the only team that I think realistically has a chance. Otherwise, all the teams with a goal differential in the West that is a plus are in the playoffs, and the same in the East with the exception of Montreal. Montreal is the only team that's on the outside that can still make the playoffs, and they're a plus 11. So there'll be one team with a plus goal differential that'll miss the playoffs, and every single team with a minus goal differential will miss. And I've told this before on Game Misconduct. Neil Smith, the former general manager of the Rangers and the Islanders, told me when we started working together after the lockout when we did NHL Live, he said, with these shootout wins, the best way to tell how good a team is to look at their goal differential. Okay? It's not obviously comes into the standings unless it's a tiebreaker, but you really get a chance to see. If there's a team that's won a lot of games by the via the shootout, their row wins will be less, which was not a statistic back when Neil said this, but he's like, the goal differential is going to show you that if you're a minus team, you're probably not that good. Maybe you just caught a couple of big breaks. You've been able to win some games in overtime of the shootout. But the best teams are the teams with a plus goal differential, and no better example than Tampa that is at plus 100. And the number one team in the Western Conference, Calgary, is a plus 66. So that shows. And the worst team in the National Hockey League, the worst team in the NHL right now is Ottawa. They got a minus 56 goal differential, and the worst team in the West is the Kings with a minus 63. So it's very telling. So it's interesting to see that it will be only one team with a plus goal differential that will miss the playoffs. That's how important these games are. And we talked about Montreal and their schedule with Carolina coming up. Then that's why when we preview the games coming up later today, how big that's going to be. Calgary, despite resting a bunch of regulars, beat the Los Angeles Kings 7-2. Gaudreau gets a goal in this one. He's got 97 points now on the season. Edmonton mathematically eliminated. They lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 3-1. Vegas wins for just one time in their last six. They're locked into that three seed. We know San Jose is going to take on Vegas. But after the game, I thought a really clear captaincy type of moment happened for Connor McDavid, because he was just asked about the direction the team is going in. And instead of just giving a generic answer like, hey, we believe in it, he was honest and said, we don't have a general manager right now. How am I supposed to tell you what direction we're going to be going into? I don't even know who our leader is. They're going to blow this whole thing up in the offseason as far as management's concerned. New general manager, likely Hitchcock, is going to be replaced behind the bench. So Connor McDavid gave a very honest and forthright answer. I don't know. This is going to be a huge offseason for the Edmonton Oilers, who they bring in to be their GM. So how is Connor McDavid supposed to look at the landscape of his team that went to the second round a couple of years ago and looked like they're on the fast track to win a Stanley Cup? Second straight year missing the playoffs in hellaciously disappointing fashion, okay? With a ton of talent on that team. You're talking about McDavid. You're talking about Draisaitl, who's going to finish with the second most goals in the National Hockey League. McDavid is going to be among the leaders in points. You got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who had a resurgent year this year. You've got Nurse. You've got so much talent, and it's a shame that this has really been an also-ran now for the last couple of years. And I don't blame Ken Hitchcock. He came in there to try to salvage a bad situation, but clearly they're going to need to bring in somebody different. The general manager, whoever that's going to be, has the right to bring in his own guy. So is it going to be an analytic guy? Is it going to be an old school guy? I don't know. But kudos to Connor McDavid just answering honestly a genuine question about what direction this franchise is going, and how the hell is he supposed to answer that question when he doesn't even know who is going to be in charge. I thought it was good stuff. Tampa beats Ottawa, no surprise there, 5-2. Point with his 41st goal. Stamkos with his 42nd goal. Rangers beat the lose to the Devils for the first time this year, 4-2. Henrik Lundqvist, fifth consecutive time he has missed at win number 450. And you feel bad for him, right? I mean, the Devils are not a great offensive team. Palmieri didn't play. Hall's not playing in the game. 41 shots on goal. So Rangers are still learning their way here, playing out the string. And you feel bad for Hank, because Hank's got some milestones he's trying to catch here, trying to get to 450 before the end of the season. And he's never had a year in the National Hockey League where he didn't at least win 20 games. And that streak is clearly in jeopardy. He's stuck on 18 with three games left to play. Now, I think the original plan was he was supposed to win the game last night and then have one of the last three starts to try to get 20. But David Quinn said after the game that he may be open to giving Hank a couple of opportunities here down the stretch to try not only get 450, but try to keep that 20-win streak alive. So he's going to have to win both of them. So does he play against Ottawa tomorrow with a day's rest? Ottawa, worst team in the National Hockey League, a chance to maybe get 450 at home and then 19, and then he can get one of the last two home against Columbus or at the Pittsburgh Penguins, and at least give Hank a meaningful game. Columbus could be still battling to make the playoffs. Pittsburgh could still be very much alive for home ice advantage and give him a couple of chances at a meaningful game over the weekend. So got a hankering here that Lundqvist is going to get two more starts in these last three to at least get the opportunity to get 20. But give Lundqvist credit. You know, he's not making it about himself. He is clearly on board for the rebuild. He even said, listen, I'll do whatever the coach tells me to do. But he said, the way that I've played five consecutive losses here, all in regulation, just three wins in his last 15, that, hey, I don't deserve to play. Georgiev has been better than me. So Hank even left the door open that if coach wanted to play Georgiev in the final three games of the season, he'd be cool with that. But the organization also wants to honor a guy that's been a good soldier for them for the last 14 years. So let's see if David Quinn gives him that opportunity. I don't think he'll play the back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday. So if he doesn't play tomorrow, it looks like it'll probably be over as far as getting 20 is concerned. And if he does play, at least gives a little meaning to what is meaningless in the standings, the Rangers and the Senators at Madison Square Garden tomorrow. Let's talk about tonight. Huge games for the Canadiens, the Blue Jackets, and the Hurricanes. All three of those teams, only one spot for those three teams, right? So two of those teams can get those three spots, right? So somebody's going to be on the outside looking in when the music stops. Right now, Montreal's on the outside looking in. They're home against Tampa. So on the surface, that looks like it's rough, but, you know, Tampa's got nothing to play for. The game is on the road. Second of back-to-backs for Tampa. With Domingue hurt, Tampa's in a pretty good spot here where you're looking at the third-string goaltender for the Lightning. So Canadians, I think, are in a better position than, say, the Blue Jackets, who have to take on the Bruins. Now, the Bruins, they're just playing out the string as well, and they've lost two in a row. They lost to Florida and Detroit back-to-back nights, so can you envision Boston losing three in a row? So that could be a tougher spot for the Blue Jackets against Boston. And then the Hurricanes are in Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs already clinched a playoff berth, second of back-to-back. So right now it looks like the Blue Jackets might have the tougher of those three games. And looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference, here's the way it looks. Columbus has the first wild card with 94 points. Carolina the second with 93. Montreal is a point back. But Montreal's in a bit of a dilemma because they've got one less road win than Carolina, four less road wins than Columbus. So if Montreal needs to pass Columbus, they're going to have to do it via the points. They're not going to win a tiebreaker against the Blue Jackets. So really, they look at being behind by 3 points to Columbus instead of two because tying them is not going to help. Now, with Carolina, they're only one back in the road wins, and with three games still left, they still could pass them in road wins. So Montreal still has a chance. Everybody else in the Eastern Conference mathematically eliminated: Florida, Philadelphia, the Rangers, and the like. So that's three spots. Two teams are going to get them. Montreal on the outside looking in. So every game becomes a must win. So should be fun watching those teams go at it tonight. Penguins still can get home ice. They're going to be in Detroit to take on the Red Wings. This is the front end of a home-and-home for the Penguins. Jets and the Wild from Minnesota can eliminate the Wild. Jets trying to clinch the Central. Stars and the Flyers. Stars pretty much locked in. They could still possibly, when you look at the standings in the Central Division, the Dallas Stars have 89 points to Nashville's 94. So they're not going to be moving. And they have a 3-point cushion on Colorado with three to play. So Dallas trying to avoid dropping to the second wild card. But really, when you think about it from a matchup standpoint, they probably wouldn't mind dropping to the last wild card because they match up better with Calgary. They seem to have the Flames number. So Dallas in that nebulous position. They know they're in the playoffs, but, you know, do you want the first wild card, the second wild card? Avalanche and the Oilers. Oilers mathematically eliminated. The Avalanche, again, only got 1 point in their game in hand, but very winnable game, catching the Oilers in the second of back-to-backs. But the Avalanche also playing in the second of back-to-backs. Will the Avalanche go back with Grubauer, who's been their best goaltender? He played last night in that loss in overtime, in the shootout to the St. Louis Blues. That's huge. Sharks and the Canucks, Kings and the Coyotes. Big for the Coyotes. 2 points back. Winnable game. Looks like the Kings are pretty much mailed it in. Lost 7-2 last night to the Flames. Drew Doughty after the game says he wish he could play all of the rest of the games in succession. He's just looking to get this miserable season over with. So maybe the Coyotes can take advantage and beat the Los Angeles Kings. But the Coyotes are going to need some help to get into the postseason. But still, what an incredible story that we're talking about the Coyotes on the last Tuesday of the regular season with just three games left, still being mathematically alive for the playoffs. I don't think anybody saw that coming at the beginning of the year. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Forever TH says, if you could only choose one of these, but it's guaranteed to change what you choose, shootout gets eliminated, and we play 10 minutes of 3-on-3. If no winner, it's a tie or bring back the old format of 1-8. Well, I love the 1-8. I hate the format right now. But I just abhor the shootout. So it's a really tough question forever, TH. Would I rather go to 1-8? Would I rather eliminate the shootout? Give me the 10 minutes 3-on-3 because you know what? I hate the format as currently constituted in the playoffs. But if you're a hockey fan, you're living day to day with the sport, right? I would just be so much more entertained by 10 minutes of 3-on-3. So much more entertained. And that would help me every night calling games. I can't tell you how many times I'm calling a game, watching a game, live at a game where you're playing 3-on-3, 5-minute overtime. The 5 minutes expires. You go to the shootout and I'm just disappointed. And I desperately want to see more 3-on-3 hockey. So to answer your question, I'd rather have the 3-on-3. Mario says, hey Don, who do you think are some of the most underrated players in the league? That's a great question because there is a lot of underrated players. You look at Tampa, for instance, right? You look at Gordon, how well he has played. Is anybody talking about Gordon and how Yanni Gordon, how good he's been for that Tampa team? Is Braden Point getting enough love? It's a lot of Stamkos and Kucherov, but heck, the guy's got 41 points. Are anybody talking about how good Point really is? Johnny Gaudreau is getting a ton of love, but Sean Monahan, I don't think, gets nearly enough love with the Calgary Flames, and I'm not even sure Matthew Tkachuk gets the love that he deserves with Calgary. You look at Winnipeg, you hear about Laine, you hear about Scheifele, but I think Blake Wheeler is such an underrated player for the Flames as well. Just kind of going around the league just off the top of my head, you know, I think, unfortunately, because he's on a bad team and doesn't get a lot of love, I mean, I think Mika Zibanejad is a star player. I think if you stuck Mika Zibanejad on Winnipeg or you put him on the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think he'd be a 40-goal scorer. I think he would be right up there with the Points and the Kucherovs and the Stamkoses on Tampa. I think he's got that kind of a talent. But, you know, he's been on a team that hasn't made the playoffs the last couple of years. It's tough being on the best team, the best player on a bad team or a team that's struggling. And that's kind of where Mika Zibanejad has been. I think Anders Lee is very underrated with the New York Islanders. And how well he's played, a lot of love goes to Barzal, and certainly rightly so with him winning the Calder last year. But Lee, captain for the first time since JT has left, I think he's had a very good season. You know, just scanning through the league, let's see. Of guys that are underrated. Arvidsson in Nashville. Forsberg gets the love, but I think Arvidsson has been very good for them. I mean, just some of the guys off the top of my head. I'm talking a lot about forwards, but, you know, defensemen too. Ryan McDonough doesn't get the love that I think Hedman gets in Tampa. I think he's a very good defenseman. I think here in the United States, Giordano doesn't necessarily get the love. I think he's got an excellent chance to win the Norris Trophy with the Calgary Flames. So great question, broad question for sure. But hopefully I answered your question. Give me some of your thoughts too at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Ronnie L says, Don, thank you so much for the shout out for the East Islip Chiefs on your podcast yesterday. The boys freaked out over it. He sent me a picture of the team. Looked like a good young bunch of boys. The Can-Am Challenge Cup, March 28th through the 31st, 2019, Lake Placid, New York. And guys look pretty good. And I'm just looking, trying to guess their ages. They all look like they're about, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old. That is awesome. So, definitely, enjoy, giving the shout out. A lot of love certainly is deserved for the young kids to play in this sport. And hopefully we get to even more kids playing, especially playing hockey at a young age in some of the non-traditional hockey markets. Let's see. Jeff says, hey, Don, did the NHL also switch to colors at home to show off the team colors and sell more jerseys possibly? Perhaps do it one way for the first half, the other way for the second half, playoffs home team chooses. Jeff, that's a good question. This is going back to why did we switch back to where the home team wears the colored uniforms and the road team wears the white uniforms. That might be the case, although I can see both jerseys being sold. Here's the problem with in the playoffs you get to choose because a lot of teams don't want to travel with both jerseys, right? I mean, sometimes there's special dispensation where a team's got a throwback night and they want to wear a certain jersey. They'll let their road team know ahead of time so they can pack the extra jersey. But say for a playoff series, you know, and two teams are like Tampa's going to play, you know, Tampa's going to play Columbus, and Tampa decides, you know, in the first game we're going to wear our blues, but in game two we're going to wear our whites. So the Blue Jackets would have to travel to Tampa with both jerseys. They might not want to do that, especially in the playoffs. So I'm not sure you can do it that way, but I'm kind of thinking about just going back to the old way where the home teams wear the white uniforms. That to me just think I think it makes things just so much easier. All right, let's close it out with David Hine, who says, Connor McDavid has expressed his frustration is high with the Oilers yet again missing the playoffs. If Edmonton can't right the ship and screw up the overhaul of the team, how long does he give McDavid before he's had enough and wants out? All right, we've talked about it before. I thought he took the high road and just saying, I don't know, and that's the right answer. You don't want to just give the stock, oh, everything's fine. He'll look foolish knowing they have no general manager, no coach for next year. The team is in complete disarray. But you don't want him to just be completely frustrated. It should be high. It should be high frustration for him. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league. He's not being showcased on a team that's got a chance to win. Their rival, the Calgary Flames, are one of the best teams in the NHL. It's been a long time since the Oilers have made a run. That was way back in 2006. They haven't won a cup since 1990. You know, and so it's got to be frustrating for him to see the elite players in the league, all the guys that he's sharing the load with. I mean, he's probably better than Johnny Gaudreau. He's probably better when you look at the overall game of a Kucherov or a Landeskog or a MacKinnon. And, you know, those guys are likely going to the playoffs, and his team's eliminated with a week left in the year. And even though they were mathematically eliminated yesterday, they were long gone over the last couple of weeks and certainly didn't play well down the stretch to make you think they deserved a better fate. I think he's committed to be here. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to want to ask out. But, hey, they get it wrong again with a general manager. I mean, I can understand maybe at some point him wanting to go someplace else. And maybe if the Edmonton Oilers are looking to try to get like a Herschel Walker deal, maybe something can be done down the road. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to want to force a trade. But fast forward 2-3 years from now and this team's still stuck in the mud with no direction, rudderless, would you really blame him if he wanted to get an exit strategy out of there and go someplace else to play? So I don't think you're at the quite panic level yet. Let's see what they do this offseason. But it is a huge, huge offseason for this team. Because if they get this one wrong, boy, it could set the franchise back another decade. And that's just something they just cannot afford to have happen. All right, told you the schedule. Huge games. So tomorrow we're going to be recapping a lot. We're going to have a much clearer picture, not just on the matchups for the playoffs, but who's going to make the playoffs. You know, the Coyotes can really shoot themselves in the foot. They can make a jump forward. Colorado, see what they do against the Edmonton Oilers. Battling for position in the Metropolitan Division. Can Montreal keep pace with Columbus and Carolina? I mean, all these things are going to be talked about tomorrow. Want to get you involved at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. The weather's starting to get warmer. The playoffs, you can kind of smell it in the air. It's about to happen. So let's dive right into it with your tweets. Back with you again tomorrow. This was the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.